Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Friday, the 23rd of August. It is a beautiful Friday in August and late August, which means tomorrow is the Traverse Stakes.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Oh, my heavens. Are you going?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So it looks like a great race.
Really?
Great
are there horses
race.
Running in this one?
Yeah, there's horses running in this one. It's got a large field and some really good horses. So.
Excellent.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We have Bigger Fish to Fry this morning. Joining us for the discussion, of course, the voice you just heard, WAMC's newsman Ray Graff, and College of St. Rose Communications professor and former WNYT news director Paul Conte joins us. Good morning, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. I just got back from Europe. I was away for 2 weeks.
You know, I was looking at your pictures on Facebook, and you were all over the place.
We were. Yeah. We went to Paris. We went to London. We went to Norway.
Oh.
So, yeah.
If smiles were any indication, it seems like you had a great time.
Money well spent.
Yes, we did. We did. I can tell you this. If a vote were taken based on the number of people from the United Kingdom who cruise, A, they don't like hydrofracking, and B, they'd be out of the EU in 20 seconds. And it was, like, overwhelming.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Really was.
So how did you take the survey? How did that come up?
It's kind of odd.
On the Lido deck, a couple of cocktails, and I say,
put a news director on a cruise ship, look what happens.
It was, well, the first time ever that we were on a cruise ship where the majority of the people on the cruise ship were not with American passports. They were, the majority of them were from the United Kingdom, including people that we spent time with at dinner regularly or toured with when we went off the ship, and drivers that took us from place to place, and we would just chat up, and they would ask me is, what do you think about this hydrofracking thing, because it's a big issue there now all of a sudden.
Right.
In England?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's fascinating.
It is. And
are they wrestling with the same issues we are?
Yeah. Yeah, they love the energy. They want to know that their drinking water is not going to light on fire.
Right.
I mean, that's
in a nutshell. It seems like a safe,
yeah.
You know, like a reasonable question.
Sure, that's a good
question.
Prudent
mark.
Course.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
So there's that. And and they don't like the EU much. They especially don't like their social policies being dictated by the European Common.
Yeah, but they never liked it.
No, they don't.
They were dragged in kicking
and
screaming.
And they're still there kicking and screaming. At least if they took a vote on the cruise ship, they'd leave. I don't know if they're going to or not, but they don't like much. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but there's a little international perspective.
You would like to say that, you know, they were a skeptical people, but they got on a cruise ship, so that would sort of
give you the open-minded.
Right,
yeah,
right there.
But my wife was with me, so there was some.
There you go. Sure,
there was some measure of decorum there.
We have many issues to talk about this morning, and of course, we always welcome your input roundtable at WAMC.org. We wanted to talk about Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera America made its debut on Tuesday afternoon. This is a new cable news channel with a difference. It promised it would be serious, and from what I have seen, they're not kidding.
Correct.
They are serious. Much of the criticism, of course, of the cable news networks of MSNBC, CNN, and Fox is that it is more entertainment-driven than was originally advertised of a quote-unquote 24-hour news channel. Al Jazeera would give us more news, would give us top-tier production values as well as in-depth reporting without the banter, without the virtual Congress and newsroom that CNN has and the and the opinion and so forth that Fox would have. And so, Paul Conte, what do you make? I feel it's maybe somewhat unfair to judge something after a few days.
2 days.
However, they also have had a long time to work on it, and
this is
what we have.
They have. Actually, they've been around for a long time. It's worth mentioning just because WAMC listeners are astute, and I get mail sometimes after I finish these discussions, that My previous employer used to have some real estate dealings with Al Jazeera. They owned some property at 400 North Capitol, and I wasn't part of it. I was part of the news department, not the real estate group, but they sold that. And we have a graduate from St. Rose who's working for Al Jazeera America, Mike Bunnell. I didn't teach him. He went to school in the 90s. But there, people can say he was hiding something. No, he's not. Everything's there. You've heard it. What do I think? I think they're doing straight news. Not with a lot of commercials at the moment, but they're doing straight news. Now, they've got a reduced commercial load. They're only running about 6 minutes an hour as opposed to like 15 to 20 minutes an hour on the other cable news nets. Yeah. And of that 6 minutes, I would say only about half of it is sold. The rest is promos for Al Jazeera.
Who bought it?
Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the credit report companies are the two ads that I remember seeing.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of ads at the moment on it. And we'll see where it goes. They have a PR problem.
What is the PR problem and why? And how do you, and well, what's the PR problem?
The PR problem is they're still perceived as Osama bin Laden, or for Zero Dark 30 fans, UBL's mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Because they ran all those tapes that the courier would get to them. So people have that sort of color or flavor of what they are, fairly or unfairly.
Do you think it's fair or unfair?
Well, I suspect that if a courier had delivered the same tapes to CBS or NBC or even Fox, they would have run them as well, with more commentary, but they would have run them. But it just happened that he picked that network for a variety of different reasons. Probably played better with his constituency in the Arab world, but that's their big problem.
But when you look at the makeup of the organization in America, it is it seems to have lost some of that of the original people who were players are not really ultimately involved in this new network.
Yeah, they've gone to a lot of trouble to hire people whose faces are somewhat familiar, who've worked for other cable news networks in the past. There's some interesting research to show you how big a problem, though, that they have that was done, I think, out of the University of Michigan. First of all, they're not finding that many people that actually are familiar with the name Al Jazeera. Some people are. But if you take their survey sample and look at it, the majority of people had not ever heard of Al Jazeera. Those that did, 95% of them had never seen it and had a negative opinion of it, even though they'd never seen it in any form. The 5% that did have some contact or had consumed the product thought it was interesting. They didn't have a negative or positive opinion by it. But here's a more interesting thing they did. They lied, because researchers sometimes do that.
Okay.
They took a story, actually a series of stories, which Al Jazeera had reported, and they took the name supers and everything and the graphics off of it, and they put CNN International graphics on it, and they showed it to people. And a small majority of people had a sort of a positive feeling about the reporting, but it was actually done by Al Jazeera. Then they did a different focus group, and they put the brand graphics on it, Al Jazeera, and it went...
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's...
That says a lot.
Yeah, it's brand.
Yeah.
And that's bad.
My comment, or my thought on that, was when they originally were talking about it and doing the network and so forth, of with the brand and with that problem, that maybe you change the name. Okay, it can be Al Jazeera, but you change the name to whatever.
But that looks like a cover-up, don't you think?
Well, I don't know.
Then people say, well, it's really Al Jazeera.
Right.
They changed their name to fool us. I mean, that's...
I mean, is it any difference in calling it Fox instead of News Corp? I mean, you know what I mean? You could use it as something else if this is our network and then still make the affiliation, but would perhaps help with that problem? I don't know.
Maybe. Considering that a majority of people have never heard of Al Jazeera,
right.
So maybe changing the name, but there'll be plenty of stories once they change it.
Sure.
That say they changed their
name.
Well,
I think it's too late now. I was going back to when, you know, they decided they were going to do this.
When they bought Current TV?
Right.
They could have left it Current TV, too.
Right.
Don't they have a bigger problem in the long run, though, in just a basic viewership problem in that these news networks, they went to more featurey stuff because people weren't really caring about the news absent of wars and terrorist attacks and things like that. So
yeah,
will they get enough on? Well, you're in the news.
Yeah, okay.
And so is Paul. But I'm saying these networks, if straight news would have made them money, and MSNBC, Fox, CNN, they'd still be doing it 24/7. And so don't you think that this will evolve or they will fail?
No, I think that cable news has come to be defined by an opinion approach. And they do it. I mean, they all have sort of a viewpoint that they surround themselves with, and it makes up the majority of the schedule. Obviously, when there's legitimate breaking news, not what is typically defined and graphiced as graphiced. I just need a new
word.
Graphiced as breaking news.
High-speed chases and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, they try to use that because when there's really breaking news, viewership goes way up, and it stays for a prolonged period of time. Boston bombing, okay?
Absolutely.
A lot of interest in that story. But then, you know, you reach the point where there's nothing new, and it goes whoosh.
Yeah.
And so that's why they created all this other stuff.
Right. Now, this is where I find it interesting, because if you look at some, and I'm not talking about the programs, the Bill O'Reillys, the Rachel Maddows, the set programs that are personality driven. I'm talking about the day-to-day news that they do. There are times where you look at their ratings and they're lucky if they have 50,000 viewers.
Yeah.
It is in the basement as much as it can be, and they're doing exactly what Ray said, because I was watching when Al Jazeera went on this week. I'm watching them cover Egypt. I'm watching them cover Syria. I'm watching them cover Bradley Manning in great detail. Meanwhile, over in CNN, they're talking about Seth MacFarlane's new show on Fox, and it's is it racist, for an hour. And I thought to myself, wow, well, I mean, I guess that's the difference. But for a quote-unquote news network, it would seem to me that it's at least worth taking the shot of actually doing the news.
Yeah, I think there's a larger problem, though, and that is that the news executives are convinced that if you're going to try to attract an 18 to 29 or 18 to 35 demo, the news has to be a little bit more featurey and entertainment laden, that people won't watch hard news. I don't believe that, but I'm a news guy, and so are you, and so are you. So we got three votes that are sort of cast in.
Right. We're not in that focus group.
We're not in that focus group. But I maintain that if you devote the resources to finding interesting, compelling stories, you can attract an audience. The problem is it's expensive.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as any news guy knows, you chase stories that don't yield anything. You think you've got a story. You investigate what you thought was a story, and you find out, there's not really a story there. And it's just not.
So let me ask you this question, and I know we have to go to a break, but the Bradley Manning story, that's a fascinating story.
It is.
It's a fascinating story.
Yep.
It has everything you could ask for in a story. There is deceit. There is lying. There is truth telling. Is it a traitor? Is he a hero? There's a sex angle. I mean, it's a bizarre story.
Yes.
And if you can't make ratings off that, then I just don't understand why you can't take what you actually have.
But this is not. The news networks are making stories of that. This is on the viewers. If they don't care about it, it's you know, the news networks are doing good jobs.
Well, I
on
think this gets to what Paul was saying about actual resources and the time that's spent on it. I mean, all I know is that when Bradley Manning was sentenced, I wanted to find out. I'm reading these things, seeing these different tweets, and say, "Well, my God, is somebody going to do a story on this?" And you watch it, and they're going, "Well, on Fox, it was, what is Governor Christie's charisma rating today?" And I thought, wow, wow.
How long
really?
Did you watch, though?
What? It was on for an hour.
Did you? So, and there was not one word on the
Manning
verdict?
Well, I mean,
they
do the headlines. They do the headlines, but it wasn't a major news story. It wasn't a discussion. It wasn't someone having it. Meanwhile, in Al Jazeera, you are there. You have people who are talking about the sentencing. You have people who were involved. You have scholars. You have people who are talking about the actual event. I'm not saying that it's necessarily better, but it's certainly different.
Right. But they have another problem, which we can get into after your break.
Yes.
Let us
the spin zone.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll get into other problems, as we're wont to do on this program.
Exactly.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from New York Electric Motor Service, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in electrical and mechanical apparatus sales and service. A subsidiary of Applied Dynamics, NewYorkElectricMotorService.com. Ophthalmic Consultants of the Capital Region, offering comprehensive medical and surgical eye care. OphthalmicConsultants.com. And Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering workshops for adults and teens taught by master craftspeople on a 50-acre farm. Snowfarm.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. We are discussing the issues of the day and currently in a discussion about Al Jazeera America, which debuted in this country on Tuesday. And if anything, it's something to watch on cable since Showtime is blacked out. So it gives you that.
And the Smithsonian Channel.
That's right. And the Smithsonian Channel.
That's right. That's off as well. That's
yeah.
Ray Graff is with us, and Paul Conte, College of St. Rose Communications Professor, former WNYT News Director. And when we last left, we were talking about problems, and we got to the second problem for Al Jazeera.
Well, which relates to what you were just talking about, and that's that they're not on Time Warner Cable.
Yeah.
And people say, well, what does that mean in Albany? Well, it means the whole country. They're not on Time Warner anywhere in the U.S. They don't have a contract with them. The contract that they had with Current TV doesn't apply. There are usually provisions that if the content of the channel changes hands and the content changes substantially, the cable entity or the program distributor has the opportunity to question whether or not the carriage rules that they agreed to
right.
still apply.
Well, ownership change too, right?
Yeah.
So,
but I don't think the ownership is as big an issue as the content is in case it duplicates something that they're already doing. You know.
So the access then became, at least for me, online.
Right. And the picture's not as good, honestly.
No.
And Time Warner Cable is the second largest MSO, multiple system operator, in the country. So that's a lot of potential subscribers and potential households. So that diminishes their potential success, too. As you mentioned before, they're frequently successful cable entities, cable news entities that have very, very small audiences at different times of the day. And if you take away potential audience to begin with, well, that puts them, you know, that's almost flatline. They're almost coding, as we would say in the TV ratings business. So
it seems, though, that the way this normally goes with new up-and-coming cable networks is that they see how it goes, they see their stability, and then they will pick them up.
Well, if you were, I would think that their initial position is pay us to be on.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're a startup cable organization and you want to get carriage, that's what you do. You actually pay to get on. If you're ESPN, you demand money, and they get it.
Time Warner plays hardball anyway in negotiations, as we've seen many times, so this is probably in the talking stage right now.
Speaking of talking stage, we are going to take a break, and we will stop talking, and then when we come back, we will continue with other problems and talk about Al Jazeera. We'll also talk about this issue of Time Warner Cable, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue along with Ray Graff and Paul Conte. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable, at WAMC Roundtable. We are talking about Al Jazeera this morning. Al Jazeera America debuted on Tuesday on cable stations across the country, and as Paul mentioned before our break, not on Time Warner Cable.
Correct.
So if you are a Time Warner subscriber and you wanted to see it, you had to see it on purpose. You had to, you actually had to make the
effort to go to their website.
Go and see it.
Yeah.
we were talking about some of the problems that they have. One of those being that they are not on Time Warner. The other, I guess, is of course who they are. They're owned by.
Yeah.
The human rights record of that organization that is, we'll use the word sketchy.
Yep.
And what that means, and is that something that goes back to what we were talking about earlier of their overall image problem, and how many people know about that, and what is the concern, and does that affect the news product? Because it can certainly be said that there are other media conglomerates that have been around over the years that also have very sketchy backgrounds.
Sure.
as well.
Well, the first time there's an energy crisis that deals with oil, I guess we'll find out, since they're owned by the government of Qatar, and we'll see how that plays out in that context. If there's evidence in the future that the OPEC nations are grossly overcharging for oil by the barrel, I suppose we'll see where that goes. I don't know the answer to that right now, but it's certainly the knowledge of that is in people's heads because of discussions like this, because of what's being written. It's a wait and see kind of thing. And again, that goes into the brand.
Yeah.
And I think it makes it tough for them to put these things aside. For the moment, what can they do? They can report the news well. Let's a few people weigh in on that. I imagine if a few pieces get written by writers of influence that say they're doing a good job covering the news, they're a legitimate alternative, that might help them. But it's going to be slow. I don't see how it's going to happen quickly.
The one thing that seems to – I have a comment and then a question. One, the comment part of it being that when you look at what they paid for the network, of the money that they've put into it, that Qatar has put into the network, the one thing they have going for them, directly to your point, is – that they can wait and see.
Right.
I mean, they can have the patience that many networks cannot have because of the money.
They're like run six spots an hour and be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like Jeff Bezos in the Washington Post.
I mean,
he can wait. He can afford to wait and see what happens. He's got deep pockets. They've got even deeper pockets than Jeff Bezos, obviously. But yeah, they can wait and see. You won't know for sure until there's a huge story. Because what ends up defining news organizations is how well they do on big stories. The regular stuff becomes sort of chatter, background noise almost, when you're trying to develop a brand. When you work well and perform well on stories where people are significantly engaged, that's what helps develop a reputation. It wasn't so many months ago, I think, that we were talking about how poorly a cable news organization did during the Boston Marathon bombing coverage. And that doesn't help an organization at all. I mean, it's going to take a while for CNN to overcome some of the errors that they made during that. If there's another, and inevitably there is something, a tornado, a hurricane, a fire, an explosion at a chemical factory, who knows what it will be. But if they do well covering that story, and somebody else simultaneously makes bonehead errors, not out of the realm of possibility in our discussion, then their brand can improve.
Also to that, it seems that the people that I have seen, the names that are probably only known to news junkies, but the fact that they picked up like John Siegenthaler.
Yeah.
I mean, he got wasted at the Today Show, but to me was like a real news guy, and was a great name. He's got a great presence, and certainly seems to fit into that flow very well. Joey Chen, also on a former CNN anchor, is on Al Jazeera, and while the name escapes me, they also got one of the key people from C-SPAN, which I thought was an interesting pick because that is
considered neutral.
Right, and somebody who certainly had a good presence on C-SPAN, but obviously has meant, as a journalist, many more resources here than they would at C-SPAN.
Yeah, if you want to make a splash, you're going to have to get a bigger name than those, though. I mean, we know those names.
Right.
But when you get into, again, audience research and you start asking them about that, reporters don't make a lot of impression, unfortunately, on an audience. The anchors can, but not ordinarily the reporters.
One of the things that struck me about watching it, and this is what you just mentioned, it'll depend on the big story. So, God forbid a school shooting in one of the 50 states. God forbid a large explosion in one of the 50 states. One of the things that surprised me in watching it was how little there was actually about America. In Al Jazeera America, we had a lot. It was certainly had an international focus to
right.
it. A lot on Haiti, a lot on Syria, a lot on Egypt, which, of course, are huge stories. But they weren't even so much about our involvement or our interest. They were solely on those stories. And it seemed to me during their initial, you know, during the premiere that they would bend over backwards to make this truly Al Jazeera America, to show that we are covering the stories in your country.
Right. It's summer.
Yeah, well, no doubt. No doubt. I was...
Spoken like a newsman.
I was surprised. I mean, it does seem... Because there were things happening, obviously, in this country.
Right.
And the fact that they took a backseat, I found a little interesting.
Well, some of the stuff that's been top of news has been a little tawdry.
Yes.
So maybe they just made a conscious choice to not engage in the Entertainment Tonight segment, the TMZ segment of our news content that tends to dominate, especially the morning shows.
So let's talk about that.
Because
okay. if you don't make it tawdry, I mean, it's not like it isn't true. If you talk about meaning, the story today, we may get a resignation out of the mayor of San
yes,
Diego.
Yes, correct.
That's a tawdry story.
Yes.
So do you not report it?
I mean, no, it's an elected public official. It makes
in a major
news.
City,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
and then I was expecting to see more of things like that. Ted Cruz's citizenship. Okay, you can say that is a political sideshow story, but yet it's still about someone who's running for, you know, possibly running for president of the United States.
Yeah, but what was the Manning headline? I mean, the Manning headline wasn't the issue of what he gave and what documents. What was the story after yesterday's
yeah.
appearance by his attorney on the Today Show?
Well, about the...
The gender reassignment.
Yeah, about the,
yeah. yeah, right, exactly. He wants hormone therapy, and he wants taxpayers to pay for it. Interesting. Probably newsworthy, but, you know, it's a choice. What are you gonna feature in the stories? Yeah, I think when you get into it, they're going to have to concentrate on more domestic stories. They're not... If their job is to be called Al Jazeera America, they can't be CNN International.
Look, this is something it seems to me that these are questions that public broadcasting, PBS and NPR, deal with that balance all the time.
Right.
In the sense of stories like the mayor of San Diego, Manning's
Anthony Weiner
request. Yeah, Anthony Weiner. You know, there's a way of reporting those stories in an upfront fashion without making them out to be
Carlos Danger.
That was the last time you were
thing.
On.
I mean, you can't. I mean, that's the other problem. It is true, and you can make it up. I don't know.
No, you couldn't make it up if you wanted to.
Right.
But I think what's going to get down to Al Jazeera's success or failure is the next time there is a blow up in the Middle East. Because every time Fox reports a story, there is a contingent who are watching and saying, oh, it's Murdoch again. Look at the slant. As soon as anything happens, there will be a microscope on Al Jazeera saying, ah, look who owns them and look at what they're saying. Whether they're saying anything wrong or not. That is where the success or failure will come.
I think it's an excellent point in that, do we in our cable news expect, do we want there to be a bias? Do we expect there to be, and do we want to be, quote unquote, amongst friends when we sit down and watch the news?
Probably. Especially people that watch it in the middle of the day, long term, when there's nothing really happening. Seriously.
Right.
You're not, the story isn't advancing. You're reporting the same factual elements repeatedly. Right now, the only thing that they can report is that there's been a deal made of some kind in San Diego. No one knows what that deal is, and they won't until somebody gets ready to announce it.
So but you speculate.
Yeah. So they'll speculate for a long time.
Hours.
Hours and hours and hours. So if that's the kind of viewer, that's a different kind of viewer. You know, honestly, if you look at that viewer, and I'm going to put myself there.
Okay.
It's 60 plus or 65 plus or 70 plus in terms of age. And they're typically retired. I'm not, but they're typically retired and they watch it for a long, long time. And that's what you got from like 10 in the morning until 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening for the cable nets. So, yeah.
That's why we've been able to stay on the air, right? That's why this show's been able to make it for 9 to noon.
Has the show made
13
it?
Years.
Well, when
13
did you get
years,
that memo?
13 years. You
all
know,
right, fair enough.
You know, I haven't got a pink slip yet.
We're doing our best to sink it, I'll tell you that.
I haven't checked the box recently.
Paul is trying to stop that, but...
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We always welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from New England Auctions, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For 40 years, an international auction gallery offering fine art, books, maps, and antiques. 413-665-3253 for gallery and auction information. Medical Associates of the Hudson Valley, Kingston. Physicians providing health care in primary care, women's health, wound care, travel medicine, and more. In-office and hospital care, mahv.net. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York. Presenting the Round the Lake Challenge, providing 30 missions to explore Lake George. LGLC.org.
Welcome back to our panel discussion. Paul Conte is here, College of St. Rose Communications professor and former WNYT news director. And Ray Graff, who is our newsman and former, I don't know.
Former what?
Nothing.
All right, just move on.
Well, we've been talking a lot about cable and cable news, so why don't we continue in that vein and talk about ESPN. It is said that pressure from NFL, the National Football League, led to ESPN's decision on yesterday to pull out of an investigative project with Frontline, which is the PBS news program, right?
Right. It's an investigative.
Investigative news program regarding head injuries in the NFL,
yep.
According to people with knowledge of the situation. ESPN, which is owned by the Disney company, pays the NFL more than $1 billion a year to broadcast Monday Night Football, a ratings juggernaut, and certainly something that Disney gets a great deal of revenue from.
It's the most successful program that ESPN actually has.
Do they make $1 billion on it?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially when it gets into the playoffs. But because they can't carry the Super Bowl. They don't give them the Super Bowl.
Right. Let us remember that, of course, Monday Night Football used to be on ABC.
And
was a huge ratings success for them.
Right.
And it was it made a stir when it moved to cable, basic cable.
Typically, the NFL football games, when they're carried on cable, are the highest rated shows that cable carries.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So you take it out of the hands of Al Michaels and John Madden, and you put it in the hands of Tony Kornheiser. What could go wrong?
Well, that didn't work out.
But they're not going to be part of it, and I'm sure. I don't know that there was a direct threat made. We're speculating. But it might be harder to negotiate a rights renewal when it comes up if the NFL is unhappy. And it's not like there aren't waiting partners that would be willing to take that content.
Has ESPN officially said why?
No.
Have they been
just not addressing it at all?
They have not commented.
They have not commented
officially, and then it's the officials that have had knowledge to the. Now, the question I had about the story was, why does Frontline need ESPN to be involved in the? Does it give it some sports credence?
Yeah, probably to get access to. They don't shoot football games. Now the NFL has to license it all. Which will be interesting because I doubt the NFL would license the footage to them anyway. By the way, it's pretty expensive to license NFL footage. Once the game has been over for more than a certain amount of time, you have to go back to NFL Films if you want to use it, and they license it by the second.
Wow.
So it can be expensive content. But so I don't know what they're going to do for that, but the ESPN has people that are in contact with athletes all the time. It probably gives them an entree for the interviews that they wouldn't get necessarily. They got phone numbers. They got the agents' phone numbers. They know people that would help them get people to sit down and speak with them. The program's completed, by the way.
Yes.
It's been finished.
They ran a trailer at the Television Critics Association, and that's sort of what started all of this.
Have we had a sense of what the content is and how critical it is of the NFL?
Well, there was... Go ahead.
Well, the title is basically implies that the NFL has known about the head injury issue for a while and hasn't done anything about it. Fair or unfair, that's what they're going to say.
What's interesting is they were concerned about the direction of the documentary. What I find interesting about that is that the direction of the documentary is certainly something that I think we as a nation have been talking about for quite a while, which is that there is this very serious problem of brain trauma within this professional mm-hmm. sport, mm-hmm. and yes, the NFL for a long time turned a blind eye toward it, and perhaps did not do what they should have done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a more complicated issue because not everybody who suffers repeated concussions develop CTE. So there are mitigating circumstances, and I don't think that it's clear yet. Certainly, the head trauma is definitely a component of CTE. I don't think CTE exists without the head trauma. But not everybody who has head trauma develops CTE, so what else goes into it, we don't know yet. How long the NFL knew about it, we don't know. How long athletes knew about it, because there have certainly been stories as recently as last season about athletes, one with the New York Jets, I recall, who didn't want to sit even though he knew he was having post-concussion symptoms.
And that's an old story in the NFL. Yeah. They just put some salt on it or some water on it and get me back out there.
So it's what attorneys would call comparative negligence in some cases.
But, you know, the NFL now, I think, is finding itself in a situation where, all right, maybe they turned a blind eye for a long time. Now they have to keep their lips zipped because there's litigation all over the place.
Right.
I mean, all these ex-NFL players,
right.
There's a class action suit.
Yes.
And so they can't say all that much.
Well, two of the things that I think are important to point out in this, and Paul mentioned the title, as the title indicates, the title of the project, which really does give everything away, League of Denial, the NFL Concussions, and the Battle for Truth. So that kind of tells you what direction you're going in.
It's not a puff piece.
Number one. Two, it is based on a book. This is also interesting. The book is written by two brothers who are ESPN investigative reporters.
Right.
So their information is based largely on what they have done. So even though they are divorcing, even though the network is divorcing itself, the two reporters who are at the center of this still have a very strong connection, or did, to ESPN.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I don't know where this is going to go and what CTE research is going to show. My guess is that there's going to be a period of defined time at which nobody knew the result of repeated head traumas. At some point, people got suspicious about it, and then at some point, there was knowledge. What those dates are, because, you know, that class action group that's trying to sue the NFL, there's going to be a component of those people involved in that come before the date at which anybody had any knowledge of the impact of these things.
Yeah.
And then after that, there's going to be this sort of gray area where we're sort of suspicious. And I think that's where they have the most risk. And then there's the date at which they became fully knowledgeable and what did they do at that point. But but it is interesting that the property, which is the most successful television property that's sent to homes, can just the worry that it could go elsewhere causes that kind of a reaction. One of the things that I read this morning is that Google is having conversations with the NFL. Google has a way to make it to a television set now. They just introduced this little device called Chromecast. I do have one.
Yeah.
And you can send content directly to your TV,
right,
a big screen in high definition. If they get NFL Sunday Ticket, for example, you can just command it to come from the cloud to your TV. So they don't they have to have bandwidth to get there, so somebody's going to be involved besides them. But they could, and they've got a lot of cash.
Yeah.
So they could buy some component of the NFL's entertainment. So,
which is currently on DirecTV, which offers you every game.
Their contract's coming up.
Yeah, and that contract is coming up.
Yeah.
And again, a problem with DirecTV is it is not available to everyone where Google would be.
Well, yeah.
If you had a broadband connection,
right,
you'll
right
be able to see it.
Yeah, right. And broadband doesn't exist everywhere, but you don't have trees in the way of broadband.
True enough.
So when you think of this is still scheduled to, I believe, to run in October 8th and the 15th
right
on PBS.
It's going to air on time.
And it's also, you know, where are we keeping you up?
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Just,
no.
Ray's
no
waning. I better no wrap it up.
No.
No.
The
and which leads to the final question, which is where would you have the larger audience if you ran it on ESPN or if you ran it on PBS?
ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll hurt it a little bit, but it'll be interesting to
I'm
see.
I'm
going to
get a lot
goes
of grief for that at home.
We love your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. Paul Conte, Ray Graff, thank you very much for joining the panel this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.